the senior pastor got really angry with me. And he slammed his hand against the desk. And you could see tears of anger in his eyes.
Uh-huh.
And he was pointing his finger at me and just screaming, "You did it. You did it. This is all your fault." And then he actually threw a book at me.
Oh my.
And I dodged it. Luckily, he's a really bad shot.
Oh my.
Hi everyone, this is James Hu, and you are listening to The Same Boat. Welcome aboard.
Welcome to The Same Boat. This is the podcast that helps you feel you're not alone, that there are others in the same boat as you. I'm Roy Kim, and joining me today is Bob. By the way, Bob is not his real name, but he does have a real story about a church experience that is damaging, shocking, and sadly, more common than we think. And yet, it's also a story of conviction and courage. I present to you episode 23, Cult Classic. Bob's story begins within the Asian American church. He was the pastor for the English-speaking congregation of an immigrant Asian church. I asked him whether he liked being a pastor.
I love pastoral ministry. It's such an honor to just consider that God would use broken people, sinful people like myself, to be a part of other believers' lives. Just to be able to speak into people's lives, to be happy with people and celebrate during the good times, to be sad with people, to grieve during the difficult times, and throughout that all to experience the sovereignty of God and what he's doing in the midst of people's lives is just such a blessing. And the biggest blessing of all is to be a part of someone's salvation experience. That God would use someone like myself in a small or a big way to influence someone, to speak to someone about accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's so important and such a blessing.
It's miraculous, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell just from the way that you're describing it that pastoral ministry really has a precious place in your heart. And I would guess that because it is so precious to you that the story that you're going to share caused that much more pain for you. So, Bob, can you give us a little backstory?
I came into a particular ministry. I knew the previous pastor of the English-speaking congregation, and he had actually gone through a difficulty in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be there beside him and just kind of support his ministry. And I actually came with the hope that he would be restored and that he would just continue on in ministry and that I could just give him a somewhat like a sabbatical as the Lord would have it planned. He ended up stepping down and I ended up stepping up during that time. I knew of some of the issues. I didn't know of all of the issues. There were some systemic and staff issues. The congregation, the English-speaking congregation, was fantastic. But it was really the structure and some staff decisions that were really eating away at the vitality of this church.
As we spoke more about this church situation, Bob shared that what the senior pastor verbally shared in terms of church vision with him and the actual behaviors and decisions made were quite contradictory.
The senior pastor of the language-based group had actually pulled me aside and told me that, hey, I'm getting older and we need someone to be able to carry on the next generation of this church. The reality is immigration from East Asians is dying down. And you can't get new congregants as easily for your language-based group than your English-based group.
I see.
And the senior pastor had identified that. The first generation is dying, and the second generation is leaving. But if we can hold the second generation, then there is hope for this church. So that was kind of the vision that was pitched to me.
Interesting.
I found out that the model was different, actually, on day one.
How so?
I was told that we were going to have a joint worship for New Year's, and the English-based group doesn't speak, majority of them are not comfortable in that language. Mm-hmm. So we said that we would join for part of the service and then kind of separate off for prayer time, respectively. And that ended up causing what the senior pastor would classify as a teaching moment, but it was really just yelling. So it was just him yelling at me and saying that you don't know what ministry is about.
Wow.
Which was interesting to me. I just played it off, and I said, all right, well, we can have our differences of opinion here. Mind you, I've been part of a healthy organization where two separate congregations under one roof.
Right.
I've served in that model before, so that's what I was expecting.
Yeah, you're familiar with that. You know what that looks like. And this was even what the invitation was for you to come on board and be a part of that sort of structure.
Right.
But
in reality, it was the main sanctuary looks empty because you guys left during prayer time.
Oh, so he pointed that out, that if you guys leave, this place looks empty.
My only thought during that time was, prayer matters for these people. You know, they've come and sacrificed their time.
Yeah.
Let's do it in a language that they understand. Sitting around in a language that people don't understand. And the next staff meeting, he reprimanded me in front of the whole staff.
And, oh my goodness.
He said, son, you don't know what ministry is about.
All right, I'm guessing you are starting to feel the tension in this story. Buckle up, because there is more turbulence up ahead.
We had a member on staff who was causing a lot of disunity. When my friend was stepping down, this person believed that they should become the new English-speaking pastor. So they had conducted meetings, got the whole English congregation together, and wanted to take a vote.
The staff member was unsuccessful, but tried to flex in other ways.
This particular person wanted it their way and only their way.
Wow.
And would go and talk to particular people, try to implant ideas.
Uh-huh.
And then would go to someone else, implant a different idea, and just really cause strife among the group. And would tell people, hey, such and such person said this about you, and then go to that, you know, party B and say, hey, party A talked to from the information that this person ascertained from creating so much strife in the church. It was so frustrating because it was something that was identified before I started at this church.
Mm-hmm.
The senior pastor knew about it, and this person had a history at other churches.
Oh, no.
Of doing such things as well.
Wow.
And a simple reference check, could have verified that.
Yeah.
But the senior pastor, when he hired this particular person, didn't check any references.
So couldn't Bob, as the English ministry pastor, just have this person removed from staff?
That's a very good question. The way that the senior pastor pitched it to me was that the senior pastor and myself are co-equal. But in reality, what he wanted was I'm subordinate to him.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
However, one of the things that was made clear was that I was in charge of all the educational staff.
Okay.
So all of the unordained ministers, all of the interns reported to me. And of course, being second generation Asian American myself, I do personally like a little bit more flatness. So I treated people with respect and valued their opinion and took their input before making decisions.
Right.
However, this particular staff member believed that they were higher than myself.
Was there any reason for them to believe this?
Sure. This particular staff member said, I have more years of ministry experience than you. I'm older than you. And I graduated seminary earlier than you. And one time the person actually told me, you know, I've led more people to Jesus Christ than you have.
Okay.
See, that kind of baffled me because I don't count the number of people that I've led to Jesus Christ because only the Lord knows. It's not something that you could verify empirically if that person's sinner's prayer was genuine or not. And that we can speak about that later, but that was actually part of the issue too, because this particular staff member believed that they were a conduit of God in which that they could verify that.
Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps right now.
So for me, church-based authority, while it's important and I respect it, it's not where I get my value from or fulfillment as a person.
Yeah.
I don't really need that affirmation per se from title and rank. So it wasn't too big of an issue for me. What was an issue for me was the fact that this person continually caused dissension within the church and staff members.
Right. So are we talking about weeks, months, years? What's the timeline here?
The dissension from this staff member to my friend who was in the position previously was about a year.
Wow.
And then with me, it lasted about another year.
Wow.
But if you look at this person's track record, it's decades.
Did this year of enduring this, did it take a toll on you?
Absolutely. This really tore apart my health. For the first time in my life, I ended up getting my blood checked. The blood panel came up as diabetic, pre-diabetic, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And looking at my record for the last 10 years, none of it was there before. What was more important was it actually damaged my marriage. I've been married now for 9 years, but at the 7-year mark, my wife and I came the closest we ever got to a divorce.
Wow, what happened?
My wife was so stressed out about the situation.
Uh-huh.
We have a senior pastor who's not willing to do anything about a known issue. The senior pastor was constantly pressuring her to serve as a unpaid staff member. She had committed to being with a woman in our congregation. So I said, you just need to stay committed to the woman that you've committed to. I don't expect anything out of you beyond that. But the pressure of constantly the remarks, the yelling from the senior pastor, and then having to deal with this person who's just causing dissent, being very aggressive towards my wife.
Wow.
And even yelling at her just broke my wife apart. And my wife said, if this is what it means to be a pastor's wife,
yeah,
I want out.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
Yeah, we really got very close. She was very serious about it. And we've never been that close in our life.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually kind of one of the key markers in this story that helped me to realize that there was probably not going to be a solution within the leadership. I had to really think about things. I thought about, if I hold on to ministry, I lose my wife. If I hold on to my wife, I lose my ministry. But then, in a conservative Asian American context, if you're holding on to your ministry and you lose your wife, you also lose your ministry.
Oh my goodness, you're right.
Regardless of the fact that the ministry is a thing that causes the separation, it's like an unforgivable sin. I disagree with that, but that's kind of how it's seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, you know, there's no good choice here.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to choose my wife.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I'm very happy that I did too.
I think Bob's story is a powerful reminder for pastors to check in with their spouse regularly. Like, how are they doing? For the pastors listening to this episode, what would you do if your spouse was suffering? Do you know your spouse well enough to know when they are suffering? What are the signs? Are you a safe enough person for your spouse to tell you that they are suffering? What are you willing to do to alleviate their suffering? And also, if there are any elders listening, do you encourage your pastors to get regular mental health checkups with a therapist? How are your pastors doing emotionally, relationally? How are they getting along with their family members, their children? Elders, do you set aside budget to help your pastors get this kind of crucial maintenance? Some of your pastors may be silently desperate to get this kind of help, but too scared to ask for it. You, as the elder board, can make it a whole lot easier by taking the initiative. Bob chose the health of his wife and marriage and talked about a culminating event, or dare I say, cult-minating event, in this pressure cooker.
This particular staff member who was causing issues tried to do a hostile takeover, teaching that God had appointed this person to be the conduit of salvation, much like the teachings in cults.
Right, I was just thinking that.
This particular person said that only they could discern if someone was ready to accept Jesus Christ.
Oh my goodness.
They believe that they should be ordained, but their ordination was declined several times because of obvious issues with the person's personhood. We were having issues with kind of psychological abuse. This person was pulling aside members who were not in the best state of mind.
Oh no.
And manipulating them.
Right.
And casting stories, just really implanting these really fictitious ideas into their heads that other people were out to get them and that the only person that could save them is this person.
Oh my goodness.
The only person to be their friend is this person. It reminded me, in retrospect, so much of an abuser and abusee relationship, and they become kind of codependent.
Yes, that's so scary.
And it's very scary because there were several people that became dependent upon the staff member for really encouragement every day.
Yeah.
Their kind of vitality and sustenance was coming from them because they just got so entrenched in this relationship with them.
Oh, no.
But it was based off of a false premise.
This staff member reportedly also made advances on church members of the opposite sex who are many years younger.
This person would make comments to other single people and comment about their body and
to kind of flatter them.
Right. And it was just not appropriate
mm-hmm.
in a church setting.
Right.
We don't want to be making those kind of vivid descriptions of themselves and other people.
Yeah.
You know, just staying very long times at particular single people's homes.
Oh.
Calling it visitation.
Mm-hmm.
Being in places that this person shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Alone with another single person.
Wow. Okay. So this is getting pretty bad. What happened next?
I told the senior pastor that, hey, this is a problem. This has existed before. It's continuing to exist. And we had an issue with false teaching. And I lined that out. And I said, this person is not qualified. And there was an incident that happened right around the same time where this person physically hit a minor.
Oh my goodness.
So I let the senior pastor know, and the senior pastor said, well, it's just your word versus this other person's word. I came forth to him very seriously and I said, I think you need to release this person. The senior pastor kind of shrugged it off and said, I can take care of this. I'm sure he genuinely believed that he could take care of it, but so I left it in his authority and allowed him to go ahead and do what he needs to do. But the issue wasn't getting resolved. Because of that, I brought it forth again and I said, we can't really do anything with false teaching because false teaching is really difficult to correct. We just need to release this person. And he said something that really stuck out to me a lot. He told me, it doesn't matter if this person is teaching false doctrine, as long as they listen to me.
Oh my goodness. No.
He disagreed with me and believed that as long as this person submitted to his authority, it didn't matter.
Oh my goodness.
And it just kept getting worse and worse. All the staff members were all frustrated. They were tense. Staff meetings were bad for several months. Just everyone was so tense. We're all kind of waiting for someone to get yelled at. This problem staff member wasn't afraid of yelling at other people, pointing fingers. The senior pastor wasn't afraid of yelling at other people. It kind of culminated towards the end of the year. This particular staff member started pointing the blame at me because, you know, I'm the one sounding the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
The senior pastor ended up just not being able to handle it. He was so focused on his image and he was so focused on becoming a famous pastor. You know, he's like, oh man, this is really impeding on my work across the world and stuff like that. I said, like, for me, who cares? I mean, we have a local congregation in front of us. Who cares about becoming famous in the world? God has given you a local congregation. Just be faithful to them. Sometimes God gives us bigger congregations and God might give us a global audience, but we shouldn't grasp for it.
As we start connecting the dots, we can see this heading down a bad direction. The senior pastor's quest for influence and fame was being blocked, and he needed to remove the obstruction.
The senior pastor started to say, you're the problem.
Oh, no.
And he said to me, this personal issue between you and this other staff member is causing issues in this church. So this is not a personal issue between me and the staff member. We have people in our English congregation who want to leave because of the frustration. We have people who are being manipulated, people who are hurt. And the senior pastor said, nope, this is an issue that you have brought forth to this church.
Wow.
And I said, hey, you had another English-speaking pastor resign, and one of the large factors was this staff member.
Mm-hmm.
The commonality is not me in both of these stories. It's this staff member.
Right.
And at the end of that conversation, he said, well, because of your personal lack of ability to foster relationships, work in this issue, I want you to apologize to the congregation. I said, excuse me? What do you want me to apologize for? He said, you brought this upon our church.
Oh my goodness.
And you need to go forth before the congregation and apologize for causing such strife in our congregation, in both of the congregations. And I said, Pastor, between you and me and the Lord, I have a clear conscience. I did not create this. And immediately, the mood changed, and he started crying.
What?
And he said, could you just go up there and just say you did it and that you did something wrong? He went from this kind of pushy attitude to a attitude of like trying to get pity from me and just say, I really need you to just go out there and tell people that you did wrong.
He wanted you to feel sorry for him.
He did. And he wanted me to lie in front of the congregation to save his reputation. And I said no. Because between the Lord and myself and you, I have a clear conscience. I did not do wrong in this situation. And then the mood changed.
By apologizing, you're basically telling, whether directly or indirectly, to the church that the false teaching is okay.
Right. We're just accepting it. So the mood changed one more time. And it changed into anger. He slammed his hand against the desk. You could see tears of anger in his eyes.
Uh-huh.
And he was pointing his finger at me and just screaming, you did it. You did it. This is all your fault. And then he actually threw a book at me.
Oh my.
And I dodged it. Luckily, he's a really bad shot.
Oh, so my.
We have a preschool right next door, and he yelled so loud that the kids during nap time woke up.
Oh, my goodness. What were you going through inside?
I was really frustrated because, you know, as I mentioned previously, you know, the stress has gone into our congregation. The stress has gone into my marriage. My health started declining. And I was just like, God, can this really be real?
Seriously?
Lord, is this really happening to me right now? What I've done is, to the best of my ability, is to be just. I've stood up against false teaching. I've stood up against abuse.
Mm.
And now I'm being asked to lie. I'm being forced to lie and to take blame for something that existed before I came in the church. And say that it's all my fault.
And you're getting books thrown at you.
I'm getting a book thrown at me. The book thrown at me was probably just icing on the cake, really. It was honestly kind of awesome.
It was awesome.
It was pretty awesome. It really was. The senior pastor's wife was in the room too, and
no.
You know, the senior pastor's wife was just like, hey, you just need to repent of your sins.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Like, what's going on here? This is like Inception or something. Jeez. You guys are trying to implant an idea that never existed into my mind. And then the senior pastor actually threatened me because he was obviously not getting his way.
No.
He said, I'm going to fire you.
Oh.
And I said, that's really quite all right. You know, it's really quite all right. You can fire me. And he was really surprised. And he said, this is going to be really bad for you. You're going to have a bad reputation. And I said, no, honestly, coming to this church, I didn't come to the church because of finances.
Mm-hmm. Or because you needed to be a pastor, to be a ministry.
No. And he said, I'm going to let people know what you did. And I'm like, go for it.
Mm.
You know, I believe that the Lord is just. And that's not me trying to challenge this person,
sure,
this senior pastor. It's more of a putting my trust in the Lord and knowing that the Lord could take care of it. The senior pastor told me that, hey, I'm going to fire you. I didn't particularly feel led to leave at that particular moment. The Lord was not placing that on my heart. I was spending so much time in prayer because this was such a preposterous situation.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord impressed it upon my heart just to stick it out until we could release this false teacher from ministry.
Mm.
it was something that I just had to do because so many people were hurt. I wanted to be present to protect the people who were hurting. So many members of the church were damaged, and they were thinking about leaving the church. They were thinking about leaving the faith.
Oh, wow.
That's what really hurt me.
Of course.
More than anything else. That people just didn't want to be at church, period. This person tried to take some retribution, like connected with people in my network. The problem staff member tried to take me down. It probably dinged my reputation a little bit. But, you know, with time, people see your character.
Yeah.
And people can see that, you know, certain things are not true. And eventually, because this person was not able to win against me, they ended up stepping down.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. I knew that the senior pastor was not going to change his particular way of doing things because he was not willing to admit that he made a mistake. You know, I believe that as leaders, while we're called to lead people, we're also called to call it as it is.
Yeah.
When we mess up, we need to be very forward and honest with our congregation members. Be like, guys, I hired someone who caused dissension in our church.
Yeah.
That's what I expected from the senior pastor.
Yeah.
But he wasn't giving an inch to that. And he was still on this idea that I was going to go up and make this false confession to the church. And I decided, after things had settled down, to step down from the ministry. And then he decided to package it as that he's firing me. If it really matters, you can check my hire date. It was actually with the organization that I'm with. I'm still with them. It's been several years. And my hire date is before the date that he fired me. So, you know, that's, you know, it's incongruent is what it is.
Things got better with you and your wife then?
I needed to spend a lot more time with my wife. My wife didn't want to be a pastor's wife for a season in her life.
Yeah.
So we became lay members at a local church. But we kind of laid low. And I committed to my wife that I would not take another full-time pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
Until she felt that we were ready. Even to this day, we're not there yet. We're really not. And I respect that for my wife.
Yeah.
And it's something that we're working through together.
As we draw to a close, I asked Bob if he had any last words of encouragement.
I really want to urge my brothers and sisters in ministry to stay committed to being rooted in the Word of God. You know, that's our measuring stick. And if you have convictions based on the Word of God, to stick with it. My last parting words to the senior pastor is that I have a clear conscience before the Lord. And I hope that you also can come to that as well. Because at the end of the day, we're accountable to the Lord. We're not accountable to another man or woman above us. So biblical convictions are so important. And they're not easy to uphold sometimes. It would have been a lot easier for me to just go with a lie. You know, it would have been a lot more streamlined of a process to do that. But the convenient choice is not always the best choice. It's really about sticking to your convictions that are rooted in God's Word.
Bob, I want to thank you so much for sharing this amazing story. I hope that whoever listens to this, whether they be pastor or elder or staff member, lay leader, could get that much closer to knowing God's heart for the church, knowing what some, if not many, pastors go through, and to lift up extra prayer to God to protect the hearts and minds of pastors and their families. Really grateful for your time and for being so open and sharing the story.
Thank you so much, Roy, for having me on. And I hope that if there's a pastor out there who feels like it's time to throw in the towel and to compromise, I hope that this would be encouraging to them and that they can stick to what the Lord has impressed on their hearts.
Yeah. God's blessing to you, Bob.
And to you as well.
Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Oh, man. This staff member showed classic traits of a cult leader. And it's scary to think that some pastors out there, for whatever reason, will not confront it. Thank you, Bob, for doing your part to protect the sheep from false teachers. And I urge all of you listening to be vigilant, as well as pray for your pastors and church leaders to also protect the church from false teachers. That's all for today's show. I hope you found something on today's episode that helped you feel like you're not alone. If you'd like to support this podcast, please visit patreon.com/thesameboat to find out how. And I'd really appreciate a review on whichever podcast platform you use. Thanks so much for joining me on The Same Boat. Please disembark safely. Today's song credits go to Nathan Baldwin, who created and produced original theme music. Follow Nathan on Instagram at TheNathanBaldwin. Also, Ben Boncan at freesound.org for Four Bells Ship Time, Native Dream by Imp from Fractal Planetoid 2.0, Lights and Big Eyes by cinematicwaves.com, Carotene Rust and A Clear Soul by Alpha Hydre, Aries by Splinter Gypsy, Martini Sunset by Kevin McLeod on incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license. The podcast logo was designed by Heyun Chang. You can follow her on Instagram at hye.yoon. This podcast is not meant to be taken as professional counseling advice, nor is it meant to be a substitute for professional therapy or pastoral counsel.